If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, Romans chapter 13, and especially the last part of verse 7, a word for Veterans Day Sunday. Romans chapter 13 and verse 7. Paul writes, "Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor." We give honor where honor is due. And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for today. I just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to show our appreciation to veterans. And I pray, Lord, as we leave this church today, that we would even have a greater appreciation than ever before of their service. I pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Last April, a group of wounded Iraq and Afghanistan war veterans in Panama City Beach, Florida, were having a beach day sponsored by the Wounded Warriors Project when all of a sudden a bunch of drunk college students came up and started dissing them. And here's the report.
Retired Colonel Perry Clausen says he was here to send a message.
Spitting on a veteran and a service dog, urinating on our national colors. That kind of behavior just can't be tolerated.
Members of the nonprofit group Warrior Beach Retreat say several Zeta Beta Tau members spat at a group of disabled veterans and stole their flags during a formal event in Panama City Beach.
Actually spit on me and my service dog as well.
They were urinating on the American flag.
We came right to the front steps of the ZBT house today to talk to members about what happened. I was clearly able to hear people talking on the other side of the door.
Right there.
But no one answered. I also tried speaking with some people we found leaving the house.
We're looking to talk to you about what has happened.
I apologize. We have no comment.
The international organization says the fraternity expelled three members and says they have hired an independent investigator. In a statement, the fraternity said in part, quote, "We have reached out to start a dialogue with the Warrior Beach Retreat and to offer whatever assistance we can to rectify this awful situation." Colonel Clausen says he hopes the other ZBT members have learned from this incident.
Just breaks my heart.
You say, well, Kevin, that was just a bunch of drunk idiots that did that. Yeah, but the problem is the disrespect goes a lot further than that. Because there's way too many other Americans today who have no regard whatsoever for U.S. military veterans, what they've done, and what they stand for. And how can we change that? We turn today to Romans chapter 13 and verse 7. In this part of Romans chapter 13, the Apostle Paul is telling us that one of our duties as Christians is to give honor to those who are serving the Lord. So today, on Veterans Day Sunday, we honor the way that our U.S. military veterans serve the Lord by serving their country. And why should we do that? Our text today, Romans chapter 13, verse 7, tells us three reasons why we should honor our veterans at a time when too many other people are disrespecting them and blowing them off. And let's look and see what those three reasons are. The first thing we see from this text, the first reason why we should honor our veterans is because of what they have done. Since America was founded in 1776, over 48 million Americans have served in the United States military. And of that number, 1,450,808 of them have died fighting for this country. But just look what they accomplished. They won America's independence, fought off two British invasions, ended slavery, won two world wars, contained communism, put a man on the moon, helped bring down the Soviet Union, and to this day our soldiers remain the number one enemy of terrorism all over the planet. And in process, they helped build the greatest, freest, most powerful nation in the history of the whole wide world. Not bad, folks. Not bad at all. We honor our military veterans for what they have done. We not only honor them for what they have done, we also honor them for the way that they did it. Because these are people who know what it's like to have to go on a 10-mile run at midnight with full packs. What it's like to wear Kevlar in 125-degree heat and then not be able to take a shower for an entire month. They know what it's like to live in a foxhole and have to eat the same dirt that they sleep on. what it's like to be chewed out by a drill instructor who uses the F word in all kinds of creative ways that you never even thought was humanly possible. They know what it's like to be scared to death that the little Vietnamese boy is going to lead you into a minefield instead of a village. To be scared that all the Muslim women in the square all around you really have suicide vests under their burqas. Scared to death that the dead dog in the highway is really an IED. And they are so used to death, they can tell what part of the body somebody gets shot in just by the smell. And they're never quite the same because of it. Like that uncle at all the family things that nobody ever talks about. Like my uncle Bob Lauterbach, second guy from the right, who served in Korea. And his duty was to put what was left of U.S. soldiers into body bags. Came home, very polite guy, loved my aunt, ran a tiling business, knew the Lord, went to church, but never talked. Everywhere he went, he'd sit in the corner and chain smoke Pall Mall cigarettes. And the only thing he ever said about his entire service in the Korean War, one time he said three words to his wife, "It was bad." And that was it. We honor veterans today because they have seen and done things that we pray to God we will never have to see and do ourselves. Amen. They're breathing rare air, folks. Because these are the people that John Wayne and Demi Moore and Sylvester Stallone only pretended to be in the movies because they were the real deal. We honor our veterans because we realize what they did, they ultimately did for us. Even though it took me a long time to realize that. All the while we were growing up, we had all kinds of Veterans Day presentations in school and all kinds of special assemblies. And the veterans would walk into the gym carrying their flags, and all of us kids would laugh at them because they were old and their uniforms didn't fit anymore. And everything they did for us, to us, was nothing but a page in a history book or a question on a test. But I learned my lesson. Today is November 10th, 2019. I am 56 years old, which meant I have spent 20,369 nights in a row going to bed without worrying that some foreign enemy is going to bust into my house and kill me in my sleep. Thank you, U.S. veterans. Amen. We honor our veterans because what they did, they ultimately did for us. And sometimes that kind of gets to you. Last May, Sue and I were in North Carolina visiting friends. We decided to drive down to Wilmington and see the SS North Carolina docked there along the Cape Fear River. The SS North Carolina was the first fast battleship made for World War II. And when she hit the water in April of 1941, she was the most powerful weapon in the world at sea. And people, the size, the proportion, the machinery of war and death and destruction absolutely takes your breath away. Over 2.5 football fields long, 11 stories tall, so huge you have to get at least a half a mile away from the thing just to get it in your camera lens. And with 9 16-inch 45 caliber guns on 3 turrets, 25-inch 38 caliber guns, and then for anti-aircraft fire, 16 1.1-inch 40 caliber guns and 18 50 caliber guns, she was loaded for bear. The SS North Carolina carried 144 officers, 2,200 enlisted men, and participated in every single major naval operation in the entire Pacific theater, doing 9 shore bombardments, sunk an enemy troop ship, as well as destroying 24 Japanese fighter planes, and aided and assisted in the destruction of many, many, many more ships and planes. The SS North Carolina did more than its share to win the war. But you know what got to me the most about being on that ship? Those 1.1-inch anti-aircraft guns were famous for having all kinds of buku problems with jamming and recoiling and ejecting shells. So eventually they were replaced in late 1942. But before that happened, when the SS North Carolina was in a battle, the gunner would sit in that seat And the gunner mates would stand beside those guns, beating on them with hammers just to keep the breaches open so they wouldn't jam, not knowing if those shells and those guns were going to blow up in their faces. Now, let me ask you something. Do you see any guards or shields anywhere at all on those gun placements? Which meant in the heat of battle, when Japanese Zeros and kamikazes were strafing that ship, every single one of the gunners and the gunner's mates were totally exposed to enemy fire. But do you know why they still did that, even though they were totally unprotected? Because their job was to keep that gun firing no matter what, no matter the cost, and that is exactly what they did. Because they were fighting for their friends and for their ship and for this country to win the war so they could go back home and get on with their lives as fast as they possibly could. The picture you see here on the screen is gunner and gunner mates on the SS North Carolina shooting anti-aircraft fire, fighting the Battle of the Solomon Islands in August of 1942. And I have no idea who these guys are. And because I was born 21 years after this happened, they would have never known who I was either. But I realize today, if they hadn't done what they did, I'd be eating rice and speaking Japanese. I realize what they did back then, they did for me. They did for all of us. So we could be free. You give honor where honor is due. The first reason why we honor our military veterans is because of what they have done. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second reason why we honor our veterans, not only because of what they have done, but also because the United States military is still necessary and needed today. Because we still live in a very, very dangerous world. North Korea continues to lob all kinds of long-range missiles towards South Korea and Japan. Iran is still nuking up while screaming death to America. China plans on destroying the United States and has told us that, and by the year 2030, they will be the world's number one naval superpower in the entire Pacific. Muslim terrorists continue to kidnap and bomb and murder people all over the planet. We live in a very dangerous world. We still live in a very dangerous world because communism is making a comeback. And especially in America's slobbering love affair with socialism today. Vladimir Lenin said this, "Socialism is always the first step toward communism." So the threat to our country is not only coming from the outside, it's also coming from the inside. Because too many Americans have turned a deaf ear to the clear teaching of Scripture and turned a blind eye to all the warnings of history. And especially our politicians. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez keeps pushing the Green New Deal that will guarantee an income even for people who are not willing to work. Bernie Sanders is openly socialist and wants to confiscate 70 to 80% of all the income that you make. Elizabeth Warren keeps pushing for free Medicare for all. Free meaning it'll cost about $40 trillion over the next 10 years. People, all the countries in the world combined, do not have $40 trillion. And why are so many Americans continuing to drink the socialist Kool-Aid? One out of three Americans do not know what the Bill of Rights is. Half of all Americans think the phrase, "from each according to his ability to each according to his need," is taken from the U.S. Constitution. Less than 30% of Americans could pass a U.S. citizenship test. And 90% of all college-age students know the names of all the Kardashians, but not one of the three branches of government. It's ignorance. Purposeful, willful ignorance. Too many young people today are indoctrinated in socialist propaganda centers, otherwise known as colleges. And what's the result? 70% of millennials today say they would vote for a socialist for president. One out of four wants to abolish private property. 36% of millennials say they favor communism. There's your Russian collusion right there. For real. Because the only people who love communism are the ones who never had to live under it. For over 100 years now, liberals in America have been pushing a socialist agenda to try to destroy the greatest nation in the history of the whole wide world. And right now, they are one election away from mission accomplished. destroying it because socialism does not work. Sounds good, but doesn't work. Because people do not want a big government that confiscates everything they make and then spends it without their input. And because socialism goes against human nature, it has to be forced on people at the point of a gun. And that's why socialism has murdered over 200 million people all over the world just since 1917. Yesterday was the 30th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall. Folks, the reason the Soviet Union failed is because socialism failed. Just like socialism has always failed, just like it always will fail. Over and over again. You say, but Kevin, Bernie Sanders says he's a democratic socialist. Folks, saying you're a democratic socialist is like saying you're a meat-loving vegetarian. Adolf Hitler was a democratic socialist. Do we realize that we've had hundreds of thousands of U.S. soldiers who have died fighting against socialism? 405,299 U.S. soldiers died in World War II fighting against democratic socialism, Nazism. And after the war was over, did we just hand this country over to the Nazis, to the democratic socialists? No, because that would have been stupid. That would have been defeating the purpose. Well, 112,455 U.S. soldiers died fighting in Korea and Vietnam against communism. So now we should just take this nation and hand it over to communists? No, because that would be stupid and it would be defeating the purpose. Talk about those U.S. soldiers dying in vain. Talk about disrespecting the sacrifice that they made for this country. Don't tell me the United States military is no longer necessary. Right now, the most evil, demonic force in the whole wide world is that Muslim terrorist group called ISIS that built a Sharia law caliphate in Iraq and Syria after President Obama pulled the troops out of there back in 2014. And the head honcho of ISIS was a demonic madman named Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi who oversaw and personally participated in some of the most atrocious, most heinous, most tortuous acts known to mankind against other Muslims, against Yazidis, against American soldiers, international aid workers, you name it. Al-Baghdadi would lock people in cages and then throw them in lakes to drown them or set them on fire. He trussed people like pigs and then roasted them alive. Disemboweled people and gutted them like deer. Crucified people or decapitated them by slowly sawing their heads off so they purposely knew and felt exactly what was happening to them. And it was also al-Baghdadi that kidnapped American aid worker Kayla Mueller, raped and tortured her for months on end before finally killing her. Well, when President Trump took office, he made destroying ISIS one of his top priorities. So for the last 3 years, U.S. military has been helping to pound ISIS into submission, and their territory in the Middle East had shrunk. But al-Baghdadi remained at large. Till about 6 weeks ago, when military intelligence found out that he was staying at a compound in the Idlib province in northern Syria, close to Turkey. Facial recognition confirmed it was him, and plans were made to take him out. So very early morning, last Sunday, October the 27th, President Donald Trump gave the okay. 8 helicopters carrying 70 members of the Delta Force and U.S. Army Rangers flew fast and low across the Turkish border and braved RPG fire to land just north of Idlib City. U.S. soldiers then breached the walls of that compound because all the doors and gateways were booby-trapped. They killed 8 ISIS fighters and located al-Baghdadi and with the help of a special ops service dog named Conan, chased him into a secret underground tunnel. And coward that he was, al-Baghdadi took 3 of his own children with him to use as human shields. But when he saw U.S. Army Rangers coming toward him, he detonated a suicide vest, blowing himself up and killing his 3 children in the process. DNA tests done on site confirmed the kill. And the world's number one terrorist was dead. And even though the New York Times described al-Baghdadi as a Muslim scholar to try to take the victory away from the U.S. military, it was a victory for the entire world. See, it's presidents that give the okay and make the call. But it's still U.S. soldiers that have to do the actual killing. And thank God for them. We give honor where honor is due. The second reason why we honor our veterans is because the United States military is still necessary today. We go on in this text, we see a third thing, a third reason why we need to honor our veterans. Not only because of what they have done, not only because their services are still needed today, but third, we honor our veterans for what they stand for. And most of all, that's freedom. But sadly enough, freedom today is being attacked on every side. Beto O'Rourke wants to take away all your Second Amendment rights and all your guns. Elizabeth Warren wants to take away all your First Amendment rights and control all the information that comes to you and control everything you put on Facebook. This weekend, the University of North Carolina at Greensboro is holding a conference called this, the Anti-Free Speech Movement. See the title of the book, The Case Against Free Speech, because today freedom means you destroy anybody's opinion that doesn't agree with yours. People, that's groupthink. That's thought police. That's Pravda. That's exactly what they did in the old Soviet Union. And that is still what every single communist country all over the world is doing today. It's coming here to the United States. And because they trash our freedom, they also trash our soldiers. Last September the 11th, Portland Park, Portland, Oregon, was going to hold a special event during a women's professional soccer match held in that park. A swearing-in ceremony for some new enlistees in the United States Army. But here's what happened during that ceremony. The crowd booed. They booed those enlistees. You diss our troops, you also diss what our troops stand for. We honor our veterans because they stand for the flag and they stand for this country. But sadly enough, those two things are being blasted as well. Here is Representative, next slide, Representative Ilhan Omar at a Bernie Sanders rally last month in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
We have another topic. Squad member, Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, turning heads while campaigning for Bernie Sanders this weekend. Watch.
I am beyond honored and excited for a president who will fight against Western imperialism and fight for a just world.
By Western imperialism, of course, she means America. Because all woke social justice warriors know that America is evil and hateful because it was founded on slavery. Colin Kaepernick says that the American flag is racist. Beto O'Rourke says the American flag should not even be displayed in public anymore because for too many people, it brings up bad memories of slavery, even though no living American today has ever been a slave or a slave owner, and over 750,000 Americans died during the Civil War to put an end to slavery. Funny how nobody ever mentions that. Today, any hint of patriotism is called white supremacy and white nationalism and racism. The national anthem today is supposedly racist. I had a Bible college student 2 years ago tell me, Kevin, this service that you do here at Fox River, the Veterans Day service, is too militaristic. And it makes an idol out of the flag in our country and our U.S. veterans. What are you talking about? We're not worshiping our veterans. We are honoring them. You give honor where honor is due. And the problem is way too many Americans a day have no clue about what real freedom really costs. Over 85% of the colleges in America today, any student can graduate with any kind of degree without taking even one class in American history. Less than 1% of all college students in America today are history majors, even reading it and studying it. And what's the result? 1 out of 5 millennials today thinks the Cold War is about climate change. God help us. According to polls, millennials today are all worried about microaggression. Folks, in February 1945, 6,800 United States Marines were killed taking the island of Iwo Jima from the Japanese in World War II. Marines who are exactly the same age as millennials today. And I guarantee you, those U.S. Marines did not worry about microaggression because they realized the world does not operate by group hugs and kumbaya and sit-ins. The world operates by power. Freedom is not free. Mayor Pete Buttigieg says the fight against man-made climate change is going to be even harder and even more important than World War II. 22-year-old British actor and YouTube star Freddie Bentley said this last week. Schools need to stop teaching about World War II because it's too intense. Instead, they ought to be teaching kids about the fight against man-made climate change and carbon dioxide because that's more practical and prepares students for life in the real world and for the future. The problem is the enemy in World War II was real. The enemy in the fight against climate change, carbon dioxide, that stuff that all of us living things exhale and then the plants take it and turn it into oxygen so we can survive. Carbon dioxide is the enemy? Seriously? President Calvin Coolidge said this, "Any nation that forgets its defenders will itself soon be forgotten." And the sad thing is, the people who care about remembering the most, the veterans themselves, they're dying out. The last World War I veteran died in 2004. World War II veterans today are now dying out at a rate of 5,000 per month. Every Vietnam War veteran today is in their 70s. There's fewer ceremonies, fewer Veterans Day parades, fewer remembrances. Well, thank goodness the United States military knows how to honor its own. And in one very special way in particular. Back in 1930, the U.S. government opened the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, Arlington National Cemetery in Washington, D.C., dedicated to the memory of 3 different unknown U.S. soldiers from 3 different wars whose remains are buried in that tomb and also dedicated to the memory of all fallen U.S. soldiers who were killed in every war. And from the very beginning, that tomb has been guarded by hand-picked, elite, cream-of-the-crop, rigorously trained members of the 3rd Army Infantry Regiment, known as the Old Guard, who have to swear an oath that for the rest of their lives, they will not cuss, drink, or fight in public, or do anything that in any way would disgrace that tomb. Since 1930, 663 soldiers have had the privilege of guarding the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And when they do, they get a badge. The only badge in the United States military that can be revoked during the lifetime of that soldier if for any reason they bring any dishonor to the memory of those fallen soldiers. And throughout the years, 23 of those badges have been revoked. Tomb guards train like Olympic athletes. They spend over 5 hours a day to make sure that every single part of their uniform is absolutely immaculate. Nothing but the best of the best for America's fallen. The U.S. military knows how to honor its own. Every stint of guard duty lasts exactly 30 minutes. The mat that they walk on is 63 feet long. A guard will take 21 steps in one direction, stop halfway through their about face, face in the direction of the tomb another 21 seconds, 21 being a symbol of the 21-gun salute, the highest honor that could ever be afforded a military dignitary. They'll complete the turn, take 21 steps in the opposite direction. And they go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, over and over again, for 30 minutes. At the end of the 30 minutes, the guard is changed. The next guard takes over, does exactly the same thing. the rifle is an M14. And every time the soldier changes directions, the rifle changes shoulders so that the rifle is always between the crowd and the tomb that's being guarded. And believe you me, that rifle is loaded and ready to fire at all times if necessary. And that tomb has been guarded like that 24/7, 365, ever since 1930. Back in 2003, when Hurricane Isabel was approaching Washington, D.C., Congress took off 2 days in anticipation of that storm. And the old guard was informed that because of the potential dangerous conditions of the hurricane, they could suspend their assignment. But to a person, every single one of them refused to stand down. So even during Hurricane Isabel, those guards were out there guarding that tomb. Because it wasn't just an assignment. It's one of the highest honors and highest privileges a U.S. soldier could ever attain to. And what happens if somebody in the crowd gets out of line or gets unruly? Just picture the guard being chained.
Thank you. It is requested that all visitors maintain an atmosphere of silence and respect at all times.
You give honor where honor is due. And today on Veterans Day Sunday, let's honor our veterans by doing exactly the same thing. Let's maintain an atmosphere of silence and respect for our veterans, and especially for the veterans who are no longer here. They never got to enjoy the blessings of the freedom that they fought for. We do. They're gone. We're still here. So would everybody stand up right where you are? Everybody stand up, please. Let us maintain an atmosphere of silence and respect. And as we hear taps being played, let's give honor where honor is due. Lord, just thank you so much. We're the beneficiaries of so much service and so much sacrifice in the history of this country. Just pray, Lord, that we would reach out to the veterans around us, maybe in our own families, our neighbors, people that we work with, maybe the ones, Lord, that are hurting, that are failing, ones that are discouraged or depressed. I pray, Lord, that we would be some kind of a blessing back to them because they've given so many blessings to us. Thank you for them. Thank you for every person here, Lord, who served, whatever branch, whatever way. All these things we ask in your name, and thank you. Amen.